Item number 8, from the Election Commission Administrator submitting an informational report addressing concerns expressed by Supervisors Jurczyk and Lipscomb regarding ballot issues affecting the April 3, 2012 spring election and action plan and budgeting for upcoming recall and fall elections. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Very good. And I welcome the two supervisors who were the genesis of this, Supervisor Lipscomb, Supervisor Jurczyk. Lisa, why don't you introduce yourself and we'll let you proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lisa Catlin Weiner. I'm the administrator of the Milwaukee County Election Commission. I'm here to, first of all, I want to apologize for the lengthiness of my report. I felt I needed to include every detail of this very complex, first of all, the April election was a very complex one with all of the different ballot styles involved. You know, when all of the supervisors are running and there's all the aldermen in the city of Milwaukee and other district or other municipalities, it's just very complex with the school districts and everything. I do want to stress that the initial ballot delays were caused by things that were out of our control. They were at the state level with the certification process. So we had a late start to begin with, and then we had issues with our new ballot vendor. They're a very competent printer, I do want to say that. They just did not receive the proper resources from another vendor in order to do the layout. And they have taken action at their own expense. We are confident that they can continue to produce ballots for Milwaukee County. This week's election was without any major concerns, just the usual little ones, you know, like a few ballots jamming, but nothing major. I mean, that's not unusual in when you have 450,000 ballots that you have to print. You know, even with our vendor that we had previous for over 20 years, I mean, that's not uncommon. Other things, let's see. I think if there's any questions, I think I covered everything in my report, but I just want to stress that a lot of the delays were, you know, out of our control. We did the best that we can to resolve it, and I apologize for any inconvenience that may have caused any voters in not getting their absentee ballots.
Well, and I appreciate the lengthiness of this report. I'm going to look to our two colleagues that were in essence responsible for getting this going. Supervisor Jurczyk, I'll start with you and have you go through your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Unfortunately, the timing of this committee was unfortunate. The Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Convention is taking place today because the clerks in my South Shore districts wanted to be here, wanted to present what they see as many concerns. And I actually got a call from Supervisor Taylor, who followed up with the Franklin clerk and actually asked for a delay of today's hearing. I wanted to inform the chair of that request. I did feel that it was probably important that we have this discussion today because we've got a June election. I understand the complication of the elections this year, and I don't want to undermine that reason. I basically agree with the comment that with regard to the initial delays being out of the Election Commission's control is probably a correct statement. But once it got sent to us, it no longer became the concerns were out of our control at the state level, but became a real concern at the county level. It seems, and I'd like to have a response, if I could, Mr. Chair, and I'll do it through the chair. It seems that a lot of these problems were caused really through the procurement department. I believe we were initiating new procedures not only in our own procurement department, but also with regard to working with the City of Milwaukee Election Commission in attempting to do printing for both the County Election Commission and the City of Milwaukee Election Commission together. And I, I would like to stop, Mr. Chair, and ask if I'm correct in that assumption and allow the response.
Well, I'd like to have the response from Ms. Weiner, if you would. Could please. I don't know about the whole procurement, but I did read the report, but I know that you obviously were very, very involved with that. So, Lisa, please.
Okay, Mr. Chair. My understanding is that we had to put the print project out for bid. We're only allowed, and I'm not really, I'm not familiar with the procedures at the procurement division, but we were told we had to put it out for bid last year for this year, and Burton and Meyer, the current printer, came through with the lowest bid, and we basically had to go with them unless we had a very legitimate concern, and we didn't at that point because, you know, we haven't experienced them, but I had met with them, and I felt confident that they could do it because I felt that they were able to get the resources to lay out a ballot and design it properly.
And I guess what you're saying, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but obviously Burton Meyer was, in essence, the low bid and had taken the place of, was it Merrick, who had done the ballots the last, was it 20 years?
Yes, over 20 years.
Okay. Supervisor Jersey, please.
Mr. Chair, could you ask her to identify her statement? We were told, who told them to do that?
Oh, the procurement department.
Procurement told you to go out and get bids.
Well, no. Well, they put out. I think we received a document saying that, you know, this had to go out for bid.
Which begets other questions as far as how much actual cost savings there were. And I know that again, I'll let Lisa speak. So let's talk about the finances, Lisa. What we paid X and. And then there were these issues and delays, and then Burton Meyer had to, in essence, pay their own monies to make us whole, make them whole. So I'll let you elaborate.
Okay. Well, for the April election, all of the ballots had to be reprinted. We did not, you know, well, we should not have received it. We did not receive a bill from Burton Meyer for the defective ballots, so we did not have to pay for those. There was considerable expense, though, from the there were two printers that were hired to expedite the job, Rotographics and Fond du Lac. And their print job, they had to do it, you know, very quickly over the weekend. And it cost a lot of, I think I have it quoted in the, I think it was over $166,000, which averages about 65 cents per ballot. The average cost we pay for a three-column ballot is 25 cents. The Merrick Group printed the City of Milwaukee's ballots, and they charged approximately 25 cents per ballot. But it was necessary to have two vendors at that time to expedite the ballots because they were late already.
Supervisor Jersey, you still have the floor, please.
Thank you. And Lisa's confirming my fear. And I just want to make the comment. Our election commission serves 18 municipalities with regard to all of their elections. And I want to underline, the City of Milwaukee has its own election commission for their local elections. So some people see this as a duplication of service. I don't believe it's a duplication of service in that our county election commission has to work with the state, certify everything, and I'm not trying to get into all of the detail of the work. But because procurement forced this change, we were dealing with a printer that was unfamiliar, and we had these hang-ups because of this new printer. I'm told by my clerks that the old printer that we had actually had an election machine right in the print shop, would run some sample ballots, test it, find out if it worked. When they were satisfied, they do the entire run. So this was a well-experienced printer, knew the needs of our election machines and so on. I can tell you, I have been told by the Cuttigate clerk, we actually denied someone the right to vote. You know, we're always concerned about fraud in elections. But we had a firefighter in Cuttigate who was going on a charitable mission, taking his own vacation time, knew he was going to be leaving, The clerks are supposed to have all of the ballots ready at least 3 weeks before the election day to do these absentee ballots. They had none. And the final catch on this, as I understand it, is they were given temporary ballots to be hand-filled. Eventually, they used those because the actual ballots were still not ready, and then have to transcribe the absentee ballots onto the actual ballots when they arrive. But that wasn't even done in time for the absentee ballots to get out in time, and this firefighter that I'm talking about eventually went on his charitable trip and lost the opportunity to vote. So I can document at least one case for this board where we denied someone the right to vote. But our election commission serves 18 municipalities, which tend to be the suburban municipalities, and we dropped the ball. And I'm not going to give Lisa's hard time on this. Procurement gets an F. I'm going to say it right here. Procurement department gets an F on this. They did not see this thing done smoothly, and they are really the cause of these problems. Now, there continue to be additional issues that I would like to see addressed. I won't spend the committee's valuable time. We I think, need to perhaps go back to the election commission and get these issues addressed. But I continue to be very concerned about the budgetary impact of the November election with regard to there is no budget. And I asked the question, are we under budgeted for this? I know budget committee asked that, our finance committee asked that last year. And they used basically the budget from 2010, which included both a spring and November election. But no one allowed for recalls. I remember Lisa actually making the statement, we never budget for recall elections. But then we should have addressed the contingency, because we're going to be taking these funds out of contingency, and we are going to have a real concern about that, Mr. Chairman, and I'm just going to express that because I think I do think we need procurement to give us a fairly good report. I will work with them. I will work with the Election Commission, get our clerks the opportunity to come and make a full report to the Election Commission. But we should be fully aware certain individuals were denied the right to vote because procurement gets an F on their ability to get us the ballots. And I'm going to make that statement because I've looked into this enough to understand what happened here. And a lot of the clerks tell me this was totally unavoidable. I mean, totally avoidable had we gone with our experienced clerk printers, especially during this unusual year that we are dealing with. Thank you.
Okay. Before Supervisor Weisha, I'm going to look to Supervisor Lipscomb. I don't know if you have any comments. I wanted to work with the two supervisors that, in essence, brought this item before this committee, and then we'll go to committee members.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know that I share all of the same sentiments relative to procurement, just because I think the printer is a qualified printer, and the fact that they were able to print properly once provided the correct technical assistance from the voting machine maker. And I guess that's why I wanted to probe a little deeper into that issue of whether I may be mixing names, but Command Central and the voting machine vendor, I mean, the technical specifications have to be provided to the printer. And it appears that they provided some incorrect information, and I'm wondering whether there's another issue here. Do they also provide ballots, and they actually want to be the ballot printer? So is there an additional issue here that I don't want to suggest sabotage, but and clearly they had a role in not providing complete and accurate information to our new printer, and it seems to benefit them.
Lisa, you've been through numerous elections. Could you please elaborate?
Okay, Mr. Chair, committee. I just want to clarify that Command Central was not the vendor that was involved in this. It's Election Systems and Software, ESNS. They were interested in the ballot contract, but they did not meet our specification. We wanted a printer that was more locally located within like 45 minutes of Milwaukee County, because there weren't any within Milwaukee County that had ballot would be able to print ballots. So it was election systems and software that were supposed to supply the technical manual, and apparently I did speak with them. They were disappointed that they were not able to bid on our job, and they knew that we were looking at other vendors, and they provided this manual, which basically was useless to our vendor because it was for newer equipment, and ESNS was well aware of the type of equipment that Milwaukee County uses.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that's the more relevant issue here, because, I mean, procurement's ability to verify that the printer can meet the technical qualifications of printing, I don't think, are at question, because Bergen & Meyer can do that and has proven that they can do that. I think there's a real issue if this vendor, that everyone's dependent on this vendor to provide this technical assistance, and that they had a conflict here, and they clearly fell down and provided this approach. So I think that's the larger issue that's not necessarily addressed in the report.
Okay. Anything further?
I'm sorry. And then I did want to. There was a suggestion that the statutory issue, which I think comprises about 7 days of the delay, that there's an effort to address that. I'm just wondering, is GAB bringing something forward to the legislature, or how is that being addressed? Because I believe it impacts us not only in recall elections, but also special elections, which we may have a series of those triggered as well.
Did you want to comment on that, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Unfortunately, the statutory deadlines for ballots and for elections, especially for this recall election, are very unrealistic. And it would take a change in law to change those deadlines. In fact, for this recall election that we have right now, the deadline to certify the candidates is the same that we have to have the ballots for the June recall election available to the clerks, which is impossible. It doesn't make sense, and so we just have to work with what we can. And I don't know if the GAB is doing anything about that.
Okay, let me look to committee members. Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just didn't want to have this constant finger-pointing about procurement and things like that. The fact is, if we're going to go that route, then everybody literally on the county board and in government is at fault, because we constantly demand, and make statements that we're not going to raise taxes. So, of course, you go out for these bids, and you selected the lowest bidder. You didn't allow in the procurement process to say, this person, they have a higher cost, but they've done a good job for the last 20 years. So if you're going to put those unrealistic constraints on, and then this is one of the ramifications of it, I think it is totally wrong to come back and then blame a department that we've received numerous audits on that say that they need more resources and they need more staff in procurement. And then to come back and kind of slam them with saying they somehow are responsible for depriving someone the right to vote, I just think is wrong, and it gets us off track of what are the real problems with the Election Commission and the coordination problems. And I would rather work on those problems in an atmosphere of positive feedback rather than just slamming one department out over another. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds, and maybe we can get some clarification on this from Ms. Weiner, but it sounds to me really that this whole thing maybe boils down to almost a communication problem, in that I don't think that maybe the process itself was necessarily flawed and somebody was wrong. It's just it seems from the outside that maybe procurement didn't have enough involvement from the Election Commission to explain to them all of the intricacies of getting these ballots printed and what goes into it. I mean, if this isn't just your normal printing job where you're going to put out an RFP and get a printer that can print it. And so I'm wondering what kind of involvement there was between procurement and the Election Commission as far as writing the specifications for the RFP, And then also, in hindsight, it's always 2020, but starting a brand new printer off in January when you have an election in February right away, it sounds like there was not enough time, and maybe it goes back to not having proper specs written in the RFP to make sure that the printer had everything they need to do practice ballots and make sure that these things were working. It almost seems like the whole process was rushed from the beginning. So rather than try to lay blame on who did what and created the whole mess, maybe we need to at least look at the process that created this whole thing, because there certainly isn't anything wrong with putting on an RFP and trying to save money on getting a product or service. But we can't just fault the printer, and you can't just fault one department over another. It sounds to me like there was just this communication gap, and I think we have a lot to learn about when we're going to do this again in the future.
Ms. Weiner, can you maybe just fill in some of those points? Because obviously you were there.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I did express my concerns with procurement at the time that the when the bids came in, and it appeared that a vendor who had never printed ballots before was listed as the lowest, and I was concerned because I knew that this election year would be crazy, with all the multiple elections and with the fact that there would most likely be a recall election, and basically they said, well, we need more, and I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but I guess apparently my concerns were not enough to justify going with the previous printer. We did meet with Burton and Meyer prior to them submitting their bid, and they did their homework. They contacted Election Systems and Software and found out what would be necessary to get, we called it a certification, that they would need to be certified by Election Systems and Software to do ballot layout and design. They contacted ESNS, and ESNS said, okay, for $2,500, you can purchase this. It's called a print kit. And which they made arrangements to do. However, once the bid was awarded, Burton and Meyer contacted ESNS, and ESNS said, well, we have to wait till the contract's in effect until January 1st, and we have to get the request from the customer, meaning Milwaukee County. January 1st came along, they still gave Burton and Meyer a hard time, and then they eventually received this manual, which was out of date and useless. So that put us in the bind right at the beginning in January. And it forced us, we had to hire another printer, Rotographics in Fond du Lac, to provide the layout and design services. But Burton and Meyer did print those ballots with no problems at all. But they did not design them.
Supervisor Sanfilippo?
All of that was, post RFP. What
correct.
Involvement did you have pre RFP to inform procurement? As far as the intricacies of what's involved in getting a ballot vendor.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, what we did was we met with the buyer at procurement, and we've been through this before actually, and we reviewed what was previously submitted, and very tight specifications. Like I said, they have to be able to produce large quantities in a short period of time. They have to be certified in ballot layout and design. They have to be within a 45-minute radius of Milwaukee County so that we could have deliveries. So that kind of limited the number of vendors that would be available to do this job. But that's what we did. Maybe we should have done more. I don't know. When I did it before, been through it, we had no issues because Merrick, they were the ones that won the bid last time.
Are you finished, Supervisor?
Yeah, just one last comment, and then what I'd like to do is make a motion just to lay the item over and give the other clerks an opportunity to be able to come and speak maybe next month, and Supervisor Taylor had asked apparently to be able to have some time on it. And then it might be handy to get after we have the report here, which actually was very detailed. I appreciated that. But maybe the next thing we need is the action plan on the steps that they think need to be taken to make sure this doesn't happen again, because this is a serious issue. When you end up with people not being able to vote, that's a problem. And so we have to make sure that we get to the root cause of what this was and then what we're going to do different next time to prevent it from happening.
Okay, are you finished?
Yes, sir.
Let me just give you a word of encouragement that if you're successful in your quest, you know, one of the first things that you can do, and that's light a fire under GAB, but I digress. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do I understand correctly that the original vendor that this experienced printer of 20 years, was that ESNS?
No, that's the Mayer Group.
Fine. Well, I'd have a question. You sent you for a CARB Council, and it's really a long-term view kind of question. Given the fact that this, it seems that perhaps one of the reasons underlying this is private sector business competition and competitors trying to corrupt one another's ability to perform. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. And that's not an allegation, that's just what I'm hearing. What recourse, Mr. Grady, would we have under a case like that? It seems to me this bears certainly an investigation, and is there a violation of law if there's an intentional corruption of an election process?
Boy, you didn't see that one coming, eh? I'm buying you some time, man.
That's why you
Attorney Grady,
points.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, there's more than one question there. Take the easiest one first. What are you going to do going forward? And the answer to that question is, and I haven't seen these contracts, so I don't know what they say, but typically our contracts have termination clauses, usually 30-day termination clauses. Now is not a good time to terminate a contract less than a month from an election, but you do have the right to terminate most of our contracts at any time and rebid them. So for the future, you could always do that if you're dissatisfied with any vendor, including the ESNS. Retroactively, as has happened in the past, again, it's going to depend on what the contract says. If we can show that they failed to perform as they were required to under the contract, obviously there's always a breach of contract action. I just don't know enough. I know no more about this than what I've heard today, so I would need to look at that. But that's a theoretical possibility, yes.
Well, I was just wondering if it was able to be demonstrated, proven, that there was an intentional ability or even negligence that resulted in the corruption of an election process and the loss of the franchise for a number of people, does that in any way violate federal law? I mean, are there grounds to investigate this matter and make a determination based on that investigation, and that would be the product of some law that potentially might have been broken, to find out, to go much, much deeper and find out what actually occurred here. And what I couch this by saying this is a long-term kind of question. It has no impact on coming elections, but I think it would guide our legislative behavior in the future.
Well, let me, and Supervisor, I'm assuming that's some kind of request. I know that the matter is going to come before us again, mm-hmm. because we would like to have the clerks here. Mm-hmm. So did you want to add on to that motion?
Well, I'm not too sure it's a motion without knowing whether or not a federal law was violated or a state law was violated. And that's the legal guidance I would need before I'd be able to proceed.
Well, I think it's fair to ask Corporation Counsel that in the interim before our next meeting to look into that matter. So if you wanted to make that
would be we'll make it a formal request.
Okay.
That you do so.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. Yes, Supervisor Lissman.
If you would, we do have one speaker from around here.
Very good. All right. Come on. And your name, sir, and we'll have you fill out a card. So, and nice to have you. You've sat patiently throughout this meeting, and I hope we impress the heck out of you.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Russell Van Gomp. I'm the village manager for the Village of Brown Deer, and I also wear the hat as municipal clerk.
Okay.
And I've been doing that
for
four.
But you're not at that convention.
No, it's a district meeting, I guess,
okay.
So I have other duties to attend to. But I've been a village manager for 14 years and the village clerk, and we've dealt with elections. And I think there's two real big issues. We're talking about the printing, and I work with the election commission, and so I don't want to disenfranchise the commission or to speak ill of the commission. But Supervisor Jerzyk talked about, you know, the commission serving the other 18 communities of Milwaukee County, and I think that is probably the bigger issue that needs to be addressed at some point. The fact of the matter is we did not get our absentee ballots at all. We had to hand out paper ballots, and that caused us to remake about 300 ballots for our community on election night, which added to our cost because our election workers had to stay later that evening to complete that process. So, you know, the printing is one side of things, but I think long-term is the interaction of the election commission with the suburban communities, and I think that should be addressed.
Well, outstanding point. We are going to bring this matter back. And Mr. Van Gompel, is there like a president of the Milwaukee County Clerks?
There's a Milwaukee Metropolitan Clerks Association that has members and officers.
We would like to invite them to our next meeting, and maybe if that designee could contact myself or Jennifer Collins, we can make sure that those items get addressed so that when they're here, we're ready to answer them.
Great. I think that would be really appreciated.
So thank you, Mr. Van Gompel, for coming.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Madam Clerk, I know there's been a lot, so why don't I ask you if you've picked it up? Otherwise, we can kind of fill in the holes.
I have this. It was informational. The item is informational only. There was a motion by Sanfilippo to lay over. I have Supervisor Sanfilippo requesting an action plan and what we will do different next time from the Election Commission. And then I also have Supervisor Broderick requesting if any federal or state laws were violated, and that should come from Corporation Counsel.
And that we should be prepared to meet with all of the municipal clerks and address their concerns at our next meeting. Okay, was that fair as far as what our understanding is? Okay, anybody else? Lisa? Pat? Supervisor Jurczyk, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's fine. I just think we do need to explore the whole issue of procurement, and this, I believe it's a new thing, correct me if I'm wrong, with the county now working with the city and the Milwaukee Election Commission to do a printing. And I think that may have caused a lot of the issues. Am I correct on that, Lisa? Is that new?
I'm not clear what you're asking.
When you went out with the RFP, it was not just the County Election Commission, it was the City of Milwaukee Election doing a joint RFP, which is one of the things County Exec Avery has been pushing. So this whole procurement process, I think, was based on some of that, and I'd like to hear more about that.
Okay. I just want to clarify that the County Election Commission is responsible for procuring ballots for 19 municipalities, including the City of Milwaukee. City of Milwaukee is not involved whatsoever in bidding for the ballots or anything like that. Just in this particular situation in April, Sue Edmond made the decision to contact the Merrick Group to print her ballots when she found out that hers were defective. Otherwise, our office is responsible.
So maybe we could just get a little better understanding between the procurement and the election commission. I don't think the reports address that.
Okay. Yeah.
Supervisor Harris, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to add as a committee member to have procurement at this meeting as well. So I think they should be at the table to discuss their part in this debacle.
Okay. Mr. Van Gompel, you can tell everybody that we will have this item first on the agenda, okay, so that we can deal with it, and then you all can get back to your respective areas. And I apologize. I didn't realize you were in our audience there, so thank you. Okay. Okay. So we have motion to lay over with all of those items. So, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Harris?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. I'm sorry.
Seven ayes, zero noes.
Mr. Chair, meeting for next the next meeting at which procurement and the association members would be present would be the next cycle as opposed to this, our special meeting. We're having a special meeting.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. It will not be part of the special meeting.
It'll be next,
yes,
the next cycle.
And thank you, Supervisor Johnson.
I heard you say next meeting. That's why I said.
I apologize. We are meeting, and I apologize. Without getting into specifics, we're gonna meet on the 23rd on another matter that's timely. That in essence will not be our next meeting for the clerks. We'll deal with that at our June meeting. So.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, Supervisor Johnson. Let me just go out of order simply because I know we've had people that have been waiting forever, but Supervisor Lipscomb was, in essence, the author of genesis of item number 13. And I wanted to, while he was here, maybe take that up. I think that will be relatively quick, but that way Supervisor Lipscomb doesn't have to keep running back in and out. So, Madam Clerk.